Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned in to the Investor Show, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So as you're coming in and you're commenting, feel free to drop a comment and to say where you're from. That's definitely be cool for the people that are catching it live. But also, I want to let you guys and girls know what we're going to be going over today. We got a very interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about the stocks rose 300 points today, the second round of bailouts, and we're going to talk about gold hitting an all-time high, right? And also, we're going to get into real estate. We're going to look into the real estate market, mortgages and stuff like that. How's the real estate market faring up with all the stuff that's going on? And that's pretty much it. We're going to take a look at Disney's earnings as well. I didn't bring it up. So we're going to take a look at the stocks rising, because the stocks pretty much rose because of Disney. And we're going to talk about the second round of bailouts for the airlines, gold hitting an all-time high. And we're going to take a look into real estate. So it's going to be a lot of good reading today, a lot of good stuff we're going to look into. P.D. Young, P. Cole is in the house. What's going on, P.D. Young? You doing all right? You know what, P.D. Young, ever since you asked me about Uber, Uber has been on a run this week. Uber has been on a nice little run that I can't complain about. This week, leading into their earnings, their big day is tomorrow after the market close. Tomorrow after the market close is a big day for Uber. But how you doing there? But ladies and gentlemen, before we go any further, if you haven't already, make sure you
hit the subscribe button, hit the bell icon, hit that like, comment, and share button.
And had to run and help and get back. And that's pretty much it. So thank you guys and girls for doing that. So first of all, let's talk about today what we had go on. Disney carrying the stock market, ladies and gentlemen. That is true. Disney, not an airline stock. But Disney carrying the stock market today. Disney went up 9% by itself after releasing its quarterly earnings. So after it went up 9%, it spurred the market with what it was doing. Now you got some TikTok information going on. First it was Microsoft. Now, Facebook has came out with a comeback for TikTok. Also, I seen another. Who else? I forgot. Who else jumped into the bidding war for TikTok? I think Apple or something like that jumped into TikTok. But this is a crucial lesson that this teaches you, ladies and gentlemen. When in a downtime, in a down economy, when a lot of companies are trying to sit on their capital and reserve their capital, great companies deploy their capital. In a hard time, good companies deploy their capital. Bad companies preserve their capital. I won't say bad companies, but companies that are not doing as well. Because good companies, good strong companies, this is the time they put their money out. Like we just saw, DoorDash just announced DoorMark, where it's like a convenience store online that they're going to be launching to heat up things in the war with food and things like that. In the, what you call it? I can't even think of the word I'm looking for. In the rideshare space, in Uber space. Courtney Rogers, what's going on? Courtney Rogers said, what's up, Prince? The finally fed. They finally freed me. I know, right? That's true. Wang, what's going on? Evolving Wisdom. Hey, Prince, you have been busy. I've seen so many videos to catch up to. Exactly, ladies and gentlemen. I just came back on my YouTube stream. I just came back not too long ago. A couple days now, but in that time I always try to give you guys and girls content that you can go back to and see and things like that. How you doing, Miss Merlin? You doing all right? Damian Garcia said Microsoft. Yes. Yeah, it was Microsoft. I think who was going to buy it first? Was it Apple? I think Apple was going to buy TikTok. No, or Microsoft. It was somebody else jumped into the mix. And even Facebook is trying to come out with a competitor to it. So that's how we like to go. Oh, you didn't like the merge? Why you didn't like the merge? Tell me the tail dock merge. I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Tell me why you didn't like that merge. But ladies and gentlemen, we've seen Disney. So we've seen Disney come out and tear the market up. So Disney earnings came out. And today what we're going to do, people always ask me, Prince, how do you read an earnings report? So today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to share my screen. And guess what we're going to do? Voila. Right here, this came out yesterday when the market closed. After the market closed yesterday, this is what Disney released. Disney, the Walt Disney Company. Everybody know Disney's been having a hard time. Everybody know Disney is been having a hard time and will have a hard time because of, you know, the travel industry itself. So everybody was expecting Disney to report losses, right? So here, coming from Burbank, California, the Walt Disney Company today, they released their earnings ending in June 27. Diluted EPS shares were $2.61, you know, of income compared to $79 prior, right? So right now they're saying they had a loss of $2.61 compared to this time last year, they had an income of $0.79. So they made $0.79 per share last year. This year they lost $2.61. Ladies and gentlemen, how the rich get richer. They buy good companies at a bad time. Buying good companies at a bad time is the history of how you see people become wealthy. Everybody know Disney's in a great company. Everybody knows Walmart, Target, Apple's a great company. But you scoop in at a bad time to take advantage, right? So here we go. Excluding certain items affecting, I was hoping Disney was going to go down. That's what most option traders said. Disney was going to go down. And I was looking at that as a great opportunity to maybe get some call options or to load up on Disney. But Disney went up almost 10% during its peak of the day. So right now, they're saying they reported a loss of $2.61 that you can see right here. Compared to last year, they had $0.79 per share last year. Excluding certain items, comparable diluted shares decreased it by 94%. See right here, despite the ongoing challenge of the pandemic, we've continued to build an incredible success with Disney Plus. Disney Plus is what saved Disney. Now, why am I reading this, Prince? Why are you talking about Disney? When you read earnings reports, you get to see what's important. So, Prince, how do you know how to read earnings report? First thing is, I like companies who have multiple streams of income. Remember when I was telling you guys Uber has multiple streams of income? It got Uber Eats. It got Uber itself. They got Uber Rides, Uber Eats, and also it has Uber Freights. It got three sources of income versus its competitor Lyft, which only has Lyft Rides or whatever the case may be. So right now, even though all these amusement parks are closed on Disney, guess what? They're relying upon their Disney Plus. This is why multiple streams of income is very important. Despite the ongoing challenges of the pandemic, take myself for example. When I couldn't stream into YouTube, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I have an Instagram, I have a Facebook, I have my own website, I have a podcast. So I'm still able to put out content continuously, even if one platform goes down. If I get banned by Instagram, or banned by Facebook, or banned by YouTube, I have so many other ways, podcasts and audio, to be able to reach you guys and girls across the globe, right? So this is the same thing when I look at a company. As you can see right here, Disney is telling you, despite the ongoing challenges of the pandemic, this is verbatim from Disney, despite the ongoing challenges of the pandemic, we've continued to build an incredible success of Disney Plus as we grow our global direct-to-consumer business, said Bob Chapek, the CEO of Walt Disney. The global reach of our full portfolio of direct-to-consumer services now exceeds an astonishing 100 million paid subscriptions. A significant milestone and a reaffirm of the direct-to-consumer strategy. We view this as a key for our future growth of our company. So they're looking at our DTC, our direct-to-consumer, via our Disney Plus, 100 million subscribers being a big pool in the company. Results in the prior year-to-year, 9 months, okay, yada, yada, or whatever, right? So right here, it's telling you your revenues. These are your revenues. It's comparing this year's revenues compared to the same time last year revenues. So you see the revenues are down. You can see last year, I'm pretty sure these numbers in millions. Last year they brought in 20 million, and this year but don't quote me on that because I didn't verify, but I'm almost sure it's in millions. But last year they had 20 million this time, June last year. June of this year, it's 11,000, right? An income loss. Last year they had a profit of 2 million. This year they lost 4 million, right? So you look at a net income. Last year they was netting a 1.4 million or billion, depending on what these numbers are reported in. But here they're talking about they lost 4.7, right? 4.7 this quarter. So when you're looking at this, also this goes down into the segmented results. You get to look at the income. You get to see some of the stories they're telling you about what's going on, everything. So ladies and gentlemen, you got to learn how to read financial reports. Financial reports are very, very important to knowing what's going on. So let me read some of you guys and girls' earnings as we talk as we go through this, right? All right. Okay, we got Chicago's in the house. I'm Jed from Chicago. All right, cool. Peter Young said Microsoft. Lady A said peace and much power in these investment streets. Nice, nice, nice. Here we go here. We got here now. That's okay. More knowledge said we're back. You're definitely right. We're back. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, we're going over the Disney earnings report. This is the earnings report they released yesterday that went up. The stock went up 10%. Why do stocks go up after the earnings report? Earnings season, we're still in. Uber tomorrow. We got Uber coming up. We got Roku that just came out today in the after hours, which I haven't had a chance to look at. But why do you look at these things? You get to see what makes a stock move. Now, when people get to see, you get to open up the books, you get to say, hey, you know what? Disney's not so bad after all. I may want to make an investment, right? So here, Media Networks. Okay, here's their Media Network. Media Networks revenues for the quarter decreased 2%. They're telling their Media Networks decreased 2% to $6.6 billion. A segment operating income increased 48% to $3.2 billion, right? So right here in this segment, they're going to tell you right here the cable networks grew. The following are provided by the Media Networks results. This is their revenue on the cable networks or whatnot. So now you get to see the cable networks, what they've been doing. You get to see their park experiences and products. So right here, their parks, they're telling you their parks have decreased by 85% to $1 billion. Still making money, right? But they're telling you the parks and experiences have decreased by 85% for obvious reasons, right? Next, you got the studio entertainment. They're telling you this decreased, right? Studio entertainment revenue decreased. Direct to consumer and international, this increased by 2% to $4 billion, right? So higher results is because you know Disney owns ESPN. They own ESPN Plus, pay-per-view events. They own right here higher results in ESPN, primarily due to subscriber growth and higher income for UFC pay-per-view events. So right here, they tell you they get a little money from UFC. I didn't even think about UFC, but think about it. This is how you can read the earnings reports, ladies and gentlemen. You can't go by what CNBC said, Yahoo Finance said. Shout out to all those guys. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You can look at the raw stuff yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Now we get to roll down here to get to tell you where the money is coming from. Disney Plus. The following is the number of paid subscribers. So they have, look, Disney Plus, ESPN. Most majority of people signed up for Disney Plus. Hulu, right? Hulu, Disney Plus. Do you got something to do with Hulu? I didn't know that. All right, cool. All right, revenue eliminations, reconstruction, and stuff like that. What else we got down here? Interest and expenses. Equity and losses, income taxes they paid, non-controllable, their cash flow, things like that. So this is their earnings or whatnot, and they get the breakdown here to tell you what came from what. How do they make money? How did they make money? How did it look like compared to the previous quarter, right? So ladies and gentlemen, that's where we go. Hisek, Chris Rock? I'm sorry, I'm a little slow. He said, Las Vegas is in the house. Okay, Las Vegas. So we got Las Vegas. We all over the place, right? More knowledge to what you got to say. Hey, Prince, should I hold on to my Shell shares or sell or move to a more profitable stock? Shell, the oil company you're talking about? S-H-E-L-L? Is that the one you're talking about? You know? Let me know that's when you're talking about the oil company. And if it is the oil company, I don't do oil. If it is the oil company, let me look it up on my phone here real quick. Shell. Is this the Royal Dutch Oil ADR? If it is more knowledge, this is why I don't do oil. I don't do oil for one simple reason. I used to be very big in oil in 2008. when the last financial crisis happened, oil was a very big thing, right? Oil was a very, okay, so you're saying yes. He's saying that's correct. He is talking about oil. So this is the thing about oil. Is oil something we're going to use forever? Yes, we all know that, right? But this is my problem with oil. As I learned about oil, oil is controlled by the Middle East, not OPSEC, but it's OPEC. The OPEC is a bunch of countries that get together and they get to make the price of oil. They make the price of oil because they control the supply of oil. If somebody get mad at somebody else, somebody gets mad at somebody's cousin, it's always in the Middle East, it's never really peace, you know? It's never really peace in the Middle East. And when there's no peace in the Middle East, guess what always happens? Oil prices reflect that. I don't have time. It's too much political risk involved with it, currency risk involved with it. If somebody wake up tomorrow, if Iran gets pissed off at Iraq and pumps out 100 barrels of oil for no reason, just because the meeting didn't go the way somebody wanted it, or they got mad at President Trump, they pump a bunch of oil, that drives the price of stocks, not stocks, that drives the price of oil down for no reason. That's too much for some political reason. Somebody went to a meeting, got pissed off, and just pumped a bunch of oil. I can't, and then as I look at oil, as I look at us going forward in the world, everybody's trying to get away from oil. Look at the company NIO, the big electronic car out of China. Look at Tesla making headway. Even the big companies like GM and Ford, they're already experiencing ways to get oil. I don't know nobody that's creating a product right now that's making it oil dependent. Everybody's trying to move away from oil. And then we discover fracking, meaning we can go out in the middle of the ocean and pump as much oil as we want, making America number one oil producer because we do fracking or whatnot. So when I see that, I don't like it. Too risky. I ain't smart enough to try to figure that out. Where we always use oil, but I kind of see in the future, we're always trying to get away from oil. Everybody's trying to get away from oil. Everybody, every car that comes out, energy efficient, less oil, solar panels. Next thing you know, we're going to be riding around with solar panels on our car. The roof of cars is going to be made out of solar panels. And you're going to come, you're going to drive your car home, and you're going to plug it in. You're going to plug your car into your house and get solar energy. Then you're going to be driving around the road and you're going to have solar power. Will oil go away completely? No. But guess what? At those oil stations, you're slowly going to see charging stations. Just like the horse and buggy kind of faded out, just like the big old big muscle cars kind of faded out, I just don't see it. I'm like, when I look into the future of oil, everybody is talking about using less and less oil. Plus, it's unstable over there. I'm done. That's just my simple Waynesboro, Georgia knowledge. D. Brooks is in the house. Good content. Keep it coming. Hit the like button. It's free. D. Brooks always remind everybody of the like button. And then while you're doing it, while you're hitting that like button, make sure you stroll on down and get your Investor Show mug. You're always going to read financial reports way better with your Investor Show mug. Oh, everything tastes better out the Investor Show mug. Make sure you grab yours today. Hey, how you doing, Miss Ruby? Miss Ruby's from St. Louis. Am I right, Miss Ruby? Monad says, good to know. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about Disney earnings. We just got through that. Now we're going to go into our next topic, the second bailout. Airlines going to get a second bailout. That's what's in discussion right now. That's what everybody's talking about right now, right? That's my guy, Randy Johnson. Y'all give Randy Johnson, tell Randy Johnson, hey, all those memes that you guys see on my Instagram page, they are made by Randy Johnson. So give a shout out to Randy Johnson. Thank him for creating my memes and my videos, good stuff like that. Good friend of mine. So, you know, y'all give a shout out to Randy Johnson. He in the building tonight. All right. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to talk about airline stocks getting a second bailout. What do we mean by airline stocks getting a second bailout? You know, airlines got their first bailout in March, and everybody thought, majority of the people thought, or the people with the power and the money, they all thought, hey, we're going to be out of this crap by the end of, what you call it? I'm sorry about that, Ms. Ruby. She's from Memphis. That's where it's Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee is in the building. Sorry about that. I don't know why I said St. Louis. I got you, Ms. Ruby. But airline stocks, when they gave them a bailout in March, they gave them a bailout. Southwest Airlines took about $3 billion. Y'all hit that like button as if you're catching this live or the playback. But airline stocks, they took a bailout about $3 billion. Southwest Airlines took out a bailout about $3 billion. Delta took about $3 billion, something like that. And when they took the money, they could not they could not lay anybody off until September 30th. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we thought we'll be out of this by September 30th. Here we are rolling up on September 30th, and we're still in this. Look like it's probably going to last for the rest of the year. So now all the companies are discussing, should I get a second bailout? I need a second bailout. So now you see airline stocks take a little lift. Everybody's going to get excited because airlines may potentially get brought out. Not brought out, but lift, right? Brought up, right? So everybody's excited about the airline stocks kind of coming back. But what I don't believe in, what I like about it is, what I like about the whole airline stock thing is, at least they're giving them money to get through the rest of the year. But I don't think we'll see any big resurgence of airline stocks until the next summer. Until we get a vaccination, airline stocks are going to kind of do this. They kind of lost their lift because they lost their lift about a month ago because everybody was expecting by the summertime, we're going to be flying and traveling, doing all of the good stuff. But now airlines are kind of slowing down. Now you're looking at Congress talking about not only talking about giving stimulus checks to Americans, they're also talking about giving a second round of bailouts. So that's a good thing, right? Airline stocks, they're talking about giving a second bailout. That's what you guys and girls are saying in the comments. Antonio, what's going on, my man? Hey, guys, checking in from Philly. Are you going to do a show on international stocks, example, China Mobile? All right. Antonio, this is my take on it, right? Years ago, I've done shows on things like China Mobile. This is the question, right? When I look at Chinese countries, one of the risks, I would tell you guys a story. It was something like a communication stock, an ADR, right? I can't remember, American Deposit, whatever. It's pretty much an ADR is pretty much a foreign company that's being traded in the U.S. on the U.S. stock exchange. That's an ADR. Ladies and gentlemen, I learned a very valuable lesson because I looked at it and I said, wow, the government in China, they could control who does what. They have plenty of monopolies over there. The government can just come out and say, hey, you're going to use this phone. That's it. This is the internet provider for the country. You can't use anything else. They can do that overseas, right? And I thought, great investment for me, right? Ladies and gentlemen, what I couldn't realize is that I didn't understand how the political risk when you deal with a foreign country. So the political risk, the president of the United States just woke up one day and said, you know what? Don't bring any of your products over here. We're going to raise tariffs. Look what they're doing to TikTok. TikTok, you're a Chinese-based company. Get out of here. I'm going to ban you by Saturday. You're not going to be banned. You're going to be banned. Now, if it gets banned, Apple has to take it off of the App Store. Google has to take it off of the Android Store. Now, what happens to TikTok? So now you got these companies like Microsoft and Apple coming in and taking over the companies. China may retaliate and say, hey, don't bring your four vehicles over here. That's a political risk. And I'm saying all that to say is when I look at international companies, investing in international companies, that's good. That's right. You should invest out. But right now with Trump and China, he adds an extra risk that you're already inheriting with what you call it. So what I would look at that Chinese company, that thing better be beating Verizon like I don't know what. It better be beating Verizon. It better be better than AT&T. It better be tearing down our telecommunication companies. Because I'm going to look here first. Because when I compare Verizon to a Chinese mobile company, I got to say, okay, well, if they're neck and neck, I'm going to pick the American company because if I go overseas, that's giving me added risk, right? I understand diversification. I understand diversifying away from your home country. I got to grasp all of that. But I have an added risk when I invest overseas. Due to all these tariffs, who remember when Trump just came up and said it's a 15% tariff on China's, whatever the case may be. And China be like, well, we're going to put a tariff on this. They try to fight back, but they can't beat Trump when it comes down to tariffs because Americans buy everything. China makes everything. Americans buy everything. And when a buyer and a seller get in an argument, the buyer is always going to win. Because if we stop buying from China, I guarantee you somebody in Texas will start creating products or somebody here in Colorado, somebody in wherever is going to start. I start creating tennis shoes if they need be. Right. So I hope to help you out, Antonio. I can't say your name. Chris Rock. I'm just call her the Rock. Right. She said, I have my 401k invested in most aggressive stock option and it has went high. Should I go to a safer option while still high and then wait until the market drops and then go aggressive again? I'm 37 years old. I know you're from Las Vegas. So her question is, I have a 401k, it's put in aggressive stocks, and it went high, meaning the stock has gone up. She says, should I go to a safer option while things are still high and then wait until the market drops to jump back in? This is my opinion. If you're 37 years old, if you're 37 years old, I'm thinking you're not planning on reusing this money. If it's a 401k, you can't touch it anyway until 59 and a half, meaning you have, what, 20 years, right? So you got 20-something years of investing to go. I would not touch my aggressive stocks. You're very smart. That's great on you for continuously to invest in aggressive stocks. What I would do, my new money, the money that you contribute every month, I would allocate it to a more safer option. Like you probably, your 401k probably has a bond option, right? I wouldn't go government bonds, but I would go a little bit like a fixed income bond that maybe earns 3-4%. I would start contributing money there as well. So let's say if I put $200 a month into my 401k, I would have maybe $150 going to my aggressive stuff, and then I would have another $50 going to something that's safe. Prince, why are you putting $50 into something that's safe? So when the market does decline, I can do an interfunds transfer, take that money that I was putting those $50, then put that into the market. I would not take my profits off that you have right now and try to go to something safe. There's no reason to be conservative. The bull will always win. Ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to type this in the comment box. The bull will always win in the long run. The bull is when the market is going up. We know the bull is going to win. We know 20 years from now, 9 times out of 10, the stock market is going to be higher than it was today. Nobody's questioning that. When the market went down in March, nobody was questioning what stocks are going to rebound. Everybody was questioning how low was it going to go, how long was it going to stay down there, right? I'll give me 1 second. So my question to you is, I would allocate new money to a safer investment, but I wouldn't allocate old money, right? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. I got it. All right, next question. He said, I picked up all my sons, and guess what? They all made in China. Yes, China makes everything, ladies and gentlemen. China makes everything that you see out there. We know they're the biggest manufacturer. Guess who buys everything? Us. Miss Jacqueline, how you doing? She said, the bull will always win. That is correct. The bull will always win in the long run. There you go. There we go. Sean said the bull will always win in the long run. Always. Okay. He said silence. Yeah, my mic went out. He said mic's out. We can't hear you. Mic went out. Can't hear me. Can't hear you now. Yeah, I had to switch out my mics, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that. No sound. I'm back. Okay. All right.
Y'all don't have my, what do you mean? I mean, make sure y'all got me. Can y'all hear me? Yeah, y'all should be able to hear me good now. I said, thank you. There we go. All right. Okay. All right. All right. All right. I'm sorry about that, y'all. I see all y'all comments, y'all going in. Thank y'all for letting me know. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get back on topic. We was talking about airlines' second bailout. Second bailout is going to come. You know, that's giving airlines, you see airline stocks like Southwest. I'm a big investor in the Southwest. I can sleep at night investing in Southwest. You just seen Virgin Airlines, which is Delta owns 49%. It's talking about filing bankruptcy. I think I did a video and I told you, I think Spirit Airlines is going to go bankrupt. I think that, what's the other, I think it was Hawaiian Airlines. One of those guys are probably going to go bankrupt. I don't think they're going to make it through to the other side. You know, maybe this bailout may help them, but if they don't get this bailout, I don't think that they're going to make it through to the other side. The one I think is going to make, the top two that's going to make it to this other side is Southwest and Delta, right? I'm a big investor in the Southwest. I think they had the strongest financial reports out of all the airline stocks. So I can sleep at night and be very comfortable with them. All right. So I hope you got that. But pretty much what I was telling to the last question is, as you have your money, if you have your money into a very aggressive 401k, she's 37 years old, I will keep my money there and I will let my money stay invested there. And then my new money, as I'm contributing every month, I will set aside, you know, maybe 25 to 30% of my investments. I will put it into what the, we had a TSP called the fixed income. I put it there. So I will build up a little nest egg. So the next time the market takes a dip, I would do an inter funds transfer to buy, but I would not sell off. Some people try to become too smart. Ooh, stocks are high. Let me sell off and get back in. It's some people still waiting to get back in from 2008. It's some people still waiting to get back in from March. Some people pull their money out in March trying to be smart. That's why I told you, yeah, I'm going to do an episode called How the Dumb Investor Beats the Smart Investor. Some people pull their money out in March or April, and they've been waiting to get back in. Look how much they lost. Trying to be smart. But the guy who was just the dummy, I won't say dummy, but let's say the guy who didn't put too much thought into it, just kept investing, they came out fine. They came out better than they were before so far. And it would happen again. The next dip, people trying to move their money in, move it back out. You might get lucky here or there, but 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to lose. All right. Thank you. There you go. The Investor Show mug so good it knocks the sign out your sister. That is true. That is true. The Investor Show mug did knock the sign out my system, right? I think as soon as I picked it up, it but it's all right. All right, so we're gonna get into that, ladies and gentlemen. Retake over. Prince, what do you think about the ETF SHD? Let's take a look at it. Let me see what that is. Let's take a look. SCHD. Oh, what that is. Charles Schwab. You know what? Let's take a look at it together. Let's take a look at it together, ladies and gentlemen. Let me log in over here and take a look at it together. So he asked me to take a look at this ETF. We're going to take a look at this ETF together. All right. All right, so we're going to pull up the screen here. We're going to take a look at SCHD together. Y'all getting a live review right here with you, ladies and gentlemen. SCHD, this is a Charles Schwab Strategic Dividend Equity ETF. All right, pays a nice dividend, pays a dividend of 3.4. Let's take a look at their portfolio. Okay. Okay, they got UPS. They got UPS in here, Qualcomm, Pepsi, Texas Instruments, Verizon, Coca-Cola. Okay. Some pretty major companies. So let's look at the mission. What is the mission of this investment? Okay, this investment seeks to track as closely as possible before fees and expenses the returns of the Dow Jones U.S. 100 index to pursue its goal. The fund is invested 90%. Okay. So it's tracking the Dow Jones 100 index, the Dow Jones U.S. Dividend 100. So pretty much, I guess it's going to the Dow Jones and pulling out the top companies that pay a nice dividend. Not a bad deal. So here we go here, right? Let's take a look here. Let's go to charts. We have the charts pulled up here. Let me pull off this moving average. Let's pull off this insider trading here. Let's stretch this back. Let's say year to date. Let's see how it has it performed against the Dow Jones. So right here, you can see the Dow Jones is laying right on top of this thing. Let me go back. It might not pull that string up. So right here, do you see the Dow Jones? So right here, this is the first thing. Year to date, this year, it hasn't outperformed the S&P 500. It's been below the S&P 500. That's striking to me. That's my benchmark. So why are you underperforming the S&P 500? Because if you can't beat the S&P 500 in a bad year, how are you going to look over time? Let's see how it looked over 1 year. It hasn't beat it in a one-year range. It hasn't beat it in a three-year range. It hasn't beat it in a five-year range. It hasn't beat it in a 10-year range, right? Well, that may not be as rare because I don't think this thing has been around 10 years. But let's go back. So let's go year to date. It's underperformed the S&P 500 year to date. When I look at the Dow Jones, it's right on the Dow Jones. So when I look at this, why not just invest into the S&P 500 or Dow, right? Now, the difference is with this could be said is that, hey, Prince, I like those dividends. Now, if you are a dividend investor, that's different. I would keep it because it pays a 3.34% yield. Not bad, right? It pays a quarterly dividend. If I was a big dividend investor, I was big on dividend income and I wanted to get some growth, maybe I would look into this. Well, I wanted to mix the dividend and growth. Not bad. But if I have a 5, 10, 20 year horizon, this is a no-go to me. I hope that helps. Does that help, ladies and gentlemen? Hope that helped Ray Clay. He said, you're good. Prince, how do you feel about silver? Man, I believe in silver. I believe that we're in a very crazy time right now where gold, with silver and the stock market is going up at the same time. Silver, gold, and stock market is going up at the same time. And it's crazy you said that, Sean, because that takes us right into the next topic. Gold is at an all-time high, ladies and gentlemen. What do I think about gold being at an all-time high? Gold being at an all-time high when the stock market is almost back to its all-time high. You know, you talk about a 30-something percent drop and the Dow Jones is pretty much reclaimed on it, S&P 500, right? So now, why is this happening? It goes back to what I said, ladies and gentlemen, the last time. Shout out to Michael who pointed that out, which became a meme. He pretty much said, Prince, when you have gold, I pretty much said, gold is telling you what's really going on in the economy, the fear that's going on in the economy. That's why gold prices are going up. The stock market is going up because of what the feds are doing, all the stimulus packages. They are stopping people from laying people off. The airlines may get a second bailout. The airlines got a first bailout. Forbearances, part of the stimulus packages. People can't foreclose on homes. So you're not seeing foreclosure on homes go up. You're not seeing the real numbers of unemployment because some people can't get laid off. The stimulus package is paying people high unemployment, but people are making more money from unemployment than they did when they worked, right? So you're seeing all of this going on with stocks and everything like that, right? So the real economy, gold is reflecting the real economy, and that's why gold is so high. Unemployment is really higher than what it's supposed to be, but the stimulus packages is the stimulus packages that Stephen Munch and James Powell put together, which is the James Powell's the Federal Reserve. He kept interest rates very low. Stephen Munch, the Department of Treasury, he paid out all these checks to these banks and to people and stuff like that. So people at home fat, dumb, and happy. No offense, but people at home fat, dumb, and happy because, hey, I got a nice unemployment check. I can't get kicked out of my house because of the forbearances that they passed. So people can't file for unemployment. People can't lose their homes because of what? Stimulus packages. But same time, why is gold taking a run? Gold is taking a run because I believe that investors are going to that safe haven because of these troubling times. We thought we'd be out of this by this time, but we're not. Do I think gold and silver will go higher? Yes. As we're becoming more uncertain times, gold and silver, I think, will continuously to run. And I take advantage of that. So I'm not adding to my portfolio, just me, myself. I'm not telling nobody to do nothing. Definitely not a recommendation. I like AGS. Hopefully I said that right. That's a silver, leveraged bullish ETF on silver, AGS, right? So, yes, I think it's going to, you know, as until we get more right now, we don't know if we're going to school next month. We don't know if we can get back on a plane. We don't know if things coming back to normal. We don't know if there's vaccination or whatever the case, when is vaccination going to come out? These basic things that were like clockwork in America, we don't know about. We don't know when we're going back to work. All those things, right? And as those things, as those times become uncertain, you will see investors hiding in gold. You will see investors hiding in gold. Right now, the stock market is being carried by the NASDAQ, which is tech companies. Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully that makes sense. Okay. So, Sean, that's how I feel about gold. Wayne said, yes. Ray Cray says, WFC's Wells Fargo. Yes, that's Wells Fargo. Lady A said, I got American Airlines, need to buy some gold. Yes, gold is, I think it's definitely going to be on the rise. As airlines, they don't even know what's going to happen with airlines. Are they going to lay people off? Are they going to be back to work tomorrow? Are people going to be forced to retire? You don't know what's going on. We don't know if a travel ban is going to come up. It's going to be a vaccination. Basic stuff. Kids going back to school. Am I going to stay in school? You don't know. Am I going to go back to a studio and do a show? Probably no time soon, right? I actually like it down in my basement. So, but anyway, those are things. So all those uncertainties are happening. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to know when to shift. I was a big investor in the Ford. I believed in the Ford, really, because I love the dividends. But it came a time when Ford stopped telling me the story I needed to hear, and I had to get away from it. You know, I had to move to somebody else, right? You know, I don't have to be the smartest investor and predict everything. I'm not Nostradamus, where I can predict everything. But if you can't, you got to know, okay, you got to know what the trends are. Finding the trends. Sean said, yes, sir. LK Raw, if you can't beat the SPY, then if you can't beat the SPY, then I can't invest in it. If you can't beat the SPY, which is the S&P 500, then I can't invest in it. I don't know what you're talking about there, LK Raw, but what's going on? Thank you for checking in. I think you said if you can't beat the SPY, invest into the SPY. That's what I'm thinking you're saying. What about silver prints? I love silver. Silver has been going crazy this year. Silver and gold, precious metals. I think more people will pile into them as times become uncertain. People are expecting another crash may come. You know, how long can the airlines hold out? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. More bankruptcies are coming. California Pizza went down. Virgin Airlines went down. Red Robin's probably going to be next. It might be Chili's. All these companies are going to happen. What are you going to do? Right? So we might be seeing some more bankruptcies and people are going to get scared. They're going to move over. K-Rock says, I just brought Wesley Learns to Invest. Can't wait to share with my godchildren and future children. Thank you. Thank you. For everybody that don't know, Wesley Learns to Invest, that was my first book that I wrote and published back in 2015. That was my first book. So, you know, Wesley is mine now. He's 9 years old, but he probably was about 4 years old when I wrote that book. 3-4 years old or something like that. So thank you for supporting the book. That's why I always tell people, don't donate to me, support me. So definitely check out that children's book series, because you can tune in every day and learn all this information and pass all this money down to your kids. And if they don't know what to do, then what's going to happen? So yeah, we wrote the first children's book, world's first children's book on investing, when Wesley Learns to Invest. Then 2017, we did Wesley Learns About Credit. Then last year, we did the first children's book on insurance, Wesley Learns About Insurance, right? And then next year will be Wesley Learns About Real Estate. Every 2 years I do a series in the Wesley Learns series, and I have 2 more books that I'm going to write in that series, and that's going to be it, you know? But yeah, thank you very much. Just can't wait to see it. If you've already purchased a book, you can get them paperback, ebook, hardcover, audio, they're everywhere. Even some little cartoon out there too, on it too. I may have to put that cartoon back out. Marsh Boy says, hey, Prince, Like your show, I'm a newbie at investing. So I just brought three stocks of Disney. I just brought three stocks of Disney. How long should I hold them? I paid $117 for them. So first thing is, Marsh Boy, when you buy a stock, you should know what your goal is in the end run, right? Is it a long-term thing? Is it a short-term thing? Of course, everybody wants to call my phone as soon as I get on the show. But what you got to do is you got to know it's a long-term thing or a short-term thing. But Disney is one of those stocks. It's not going to jump up to $150 tomorrow morning. No. It's one of the things you're going to hold and collect the dividend. You know, but congratulations. You got a good company. You did a smart thing. I wouldn't have brought them today because of earnings. They went up 10%. So that means, what is it, Wednesday? Probably about Thursday or Friday, you're going to see the stock drop a little bit negatively because, you know, it just had a big, big day. You know, but I would have kept an eye on it, and I buy them on their down day. I only buy stocks when I find a good stock that I want. You get all hyped about it. You want it. You want to be a part of it. You just wait for it. Wait for a down day. It's going to come, right? It's just like getting into a new relationship. You meet a girl or a guy, and you're like, oh, my God, he's the best thing in the world. You're all infatuated with him. And then one day y'all get in your first argument, you be like, I hate this person, right? Same thing with a stock. You're like, oh, my God, this is the best thing in the world. I want it, I want it, I want it. Just wait. Something will come up. The president will say something. Somebody will do something. A report will come out. The stock will go down. That's when you buy. But congratulations. Still a good buy. Definitely. Congratulations. Gerald, what are you telling you? Okay. What's your gut telling you about the TikTok and Microsoft deal or no deal? My gut is telling me Microsoft already bought LinkedIn, remember? So Microsoft already owns the social media outlet of LinkedIn. So getting TikTok is not too far out of their wheelhouse. It's a great company. I'm almost say a great company, but it's a great brand, great idea. The only problem is you're seeing Facebook create something. They're trying to compete with TikTok. They're trying to create something called Reel or something like that or whatever. So with me, they're talking about banning the company if it doesn't get brought out. So for any company, they know they're going to do it. They're going to literally ask. They're going to expand their LinkedIn brand. I won't say LinkedIn will become part of TikTok or TikTok become part of LinkedIn, but they're already in that space. So it's not too far for them. What's a good gold bullish ETF? GLD. GLD is one. GLD, but that's not a leverage bullish nothing. But you have IAU. I like India Alpha Umbrella. That's an ETF that tracks gold. Very cheap. GLD is probably like 100, 200, something like that in the hundreds. But IAU is under 20 bucks. So I like that. Right? I've already have silver in one of my son's investment portfolios. I can't wait to see what this account will look like in 18 years from now. Smart man. Congratulations on helping your children, teaching your children. LK Raw, right? Good on always looking to your children. Sean says, thanks. Is Intel a buy? I was very big. I was trading a lot of options and selling options on. I was selling calls on Intel for a while before I kind of got off the train with them. But I know one of the big things I saw was they lost their chip. They used to make the chip for Apple, and Apple said they're going to start making their own chips. I didn't like that for Intel. So right now, Intel's still a great company. It's still the biggest microchip company out there. But with the opportunity costs, if I was looking at a tech company going forward into the future, I'll be more concerned with a Microsoft or Apple or something. I'd be interested in one of the hot tech companies over at Intel, if that was me. This is my personal pick, you know. One now says facts, yep. One now says support. Wesley learns about day trading. The thing about day trading, right? I know kids that day trade, you know. I would rather guide my son into the winning team. Everybody wants to do that. Can you day trade and become very successful? Yes, you can. Can you day trade and become ultra successful? Yes, you can. But we only know 8% of people can day trade successfully and make a ton of money. So why would I gear my son, or why would I tell kids, he's 9 years old, I'm practicing for him to become the next LeBron James. The likelihood that he's going to become the next LeBron James is he probably got 0.001% chance of becoming the next LeBron James. But the likelihood of him becoming wealthy by continuing to invest over time. See, LeBron James, you got to be 6'8". You got to be fast. You got to jump. You got to have an IQ of basketball. You got to get seen by the right people. You got to play. You got to stay healthy. All that stuff, right? He has a 0.01% chance becomes LeBron James. But what is the likelihood that he can find a good stock and just invest into it continuously over and over time? What's the likelihood of you being successful? He has a 95% chance of doing that and being successful versus being LeBron James. When I'm saying day trading, majority of 95% of day traders are losers. Not in life, but they net losses, right? Only the top 5-8% can continuously day trade and continuously beat the market, right? So if I know that, I would expose you to it. You'll know what it is, but I wouldn't push you down that path. I would rather push you down something that's a little bit more conservative that I know you will win at. That's just my take today. It may change tomorrow or in 5 minutes or 5 seconds. Sean said, I can't wait to start day trading. I need $25,000. I don't like options. Well, okay, when you day trade, you need $25,000. That is correct. But this is one way you can get around day trading. If you day trade under $25,000, that's called PDT, pattern day trading. You can't get in and out of a position in the same day. But what you can do, before the market closes on Wednesday, you can make a position on Apple. When the market opens up on Thursday, you can sell that position. That's not in the same day. That's not a day trade. That's how you can day trade under $25,000 until you reach your $25,000. Then people get the $25,000, then they get the leverage, then they get 100, 200, you know, or whatever, then they go crazy with it, right? Ruby Planet 13, I'm not sure who that is. If we get a little bit more time on the show, I'll look them up, okay? Miss Ruby down there in Memphis, Tennessee. LK Raw. When you're interested in buying stocks in the company, at least 100 shares is the best way to do it and sell puts. I want more BAC, and I think it's a good option. Banks haven't been too funny. Yes, you can sell options if you've got 100 shares, and he's right. When a stock is hot, like Disney, when Disney's very hot right now, it went up 10%. That means the call side is very high. So if you went in to buy 100 shares of Disney, that's 10 grand, right, if my math is correct. So what is so you go to buy those options, right? So what you can do, everybody wants to call me at one time, right? So most people don't have 10 grand just to buy Disney. So what you do is you can buy the call. I mean, you can buy the stock and sell a call at the same time, and you may be able to get it for like $11,000. Most people don't have $11,000 to throw in a Disney, but if you do, that's 100 shares of Disney. You got 100 shares of Disney, you can sell calls against it. I own maybe around about 200 shares of Southwest. I can sell calls on them. I've been selling calls on them throughout the year, right? So I can generate an income from just selling calls throughout the year. So I do get what you're saying. Is Apple a good investment when they go do 4-for-1 split? Yes. Nothing has changed with Apple. It just makes them more affordable. So today is $435. In a month or so, there'll be $110 or something like that. This is not the first time. Apple was at $700 and did a 7-to-1 split and went to $100. Now they just grew back to a $400 and it just went from a 4-to-1 split. What's going to a 4-to-1 split 5 or 6 years later, going back to $100, right? So that's how you look at it. Well, now it's LOL at backfire. Wash hands. I don't know what you mean by that one. Ken Carter. He said, I looked up Fortinet after you mentioned, after you recommended it, and it has a great beta rating and great clients. That is true. Another thing you got to look at it, Ken Carter, when you look that up, what's happening, what's big tomorrow on Fortinet? What's big tomorrow on Fortinet? Right? See if anybody can guess that.
What is big tomorrow on Fortinet? There we go. Got my microphone back in the building. Tomorrow, Fortinet, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow, earnings call. Earnings calls on Fortinet. Earnings. You're going to get a chance, King Carter, to look at Fortinet. You're going to be able to see what their finances look like. Why do I like Fortinet? Their cybersecurity, zero debt, high growth, good clients, and an industry that will dominate. Cybersecurity will dominate, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody talks about it because a lot of people don't know about it. But as everything go online, everybody going online, everything is done online, that's what we're going, right? So, ladies and gentlemen, let's take one more look here. We're going to take a look into the real estate that I promised you guys about. We talked about gold here. Let's go here. Let's go into real estate. Now, how can we look into real estate, ladies and gentlemen? You guys got to be able to know how to look up different companies' reports. So the report here is coming from the NBA.org that I have pulled up on the screen for the people that can look at it. This was kind of giving me a mixed signal. You know, I was always thinking real estate would fall. I forgot the ETF that I had that was planning on a fall from them, but they haven't failed. They won't fall for whatever reason, right? So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Mortgage applications decrease in last week MBA. This is the Mortgage Bankers Association. They put this out today, right? This is the Mortgage Bankers Association. They're telling you mortgage applications, they track people who are applying for new mortgages. Mortgage applications decreased by 5% from 1 week earlier, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. So could this be a potential slowdown in Now the market, you know, so I like to look at what they say about this, right? So here we go. Mortgage rates dropped to another low last week, falling below the previous week set 3 weeks ago at 3.14%. So the average 30-year loan is going for 3.14%. Refinancing activity has decreased. Why people stop refinancing? I don't know why. Maybe they think interest rates are going to drop again. Refinancing activity has decreased despite the decline in rates, but the current price remains more than 80% higher than a year ago when rates were over 4%. MBA forecast calls or rates to remain at their lowest levels, at low levels, which will continue to spurt strong refinance activities and offer homeowners relief in the form of lower monthly mortgage payments during these uncertain economical times, says the vice president of the MBA. So what they're pretty much saying is while interest rates are very low, and we're in these uncertain times, more people will want to refinance to get their mortgages lowered. So when their mortgage is lowered, they can pay less and less for their homes, right? Purchase applications also fell slightly, but there's a 20% higher than a year ago, and now they're rising year to year to 11 straight week. Purchase loan balances continue to climb, which is perhaps a sign of a purchase loan balances continue to climb, which is a sign that the still weak job market and tighter credit for government loans are constraining to the first-time home buyers. All right. The refinancing share mortgage activity decreased to 63.9 or whatnot. So this is pretty much, I like to go to these guys. They release monthly reports. They tell you about how many people are loan applications. Why people are loan applications are very important, because I get to see if the loan application are people applying for houses. Nobody's trying to buy a house when they broke. Nobody's buying a house when their income is low. So only people that are buying houses, that means it must be a strong economy or something like that. So I love to keep an eye on real estate, what it's doing. Also, when you look at it here, here's another thing. Here we go. Shares and loans forbearances decreased for the seventh straight week. Forbearances is when you are reorganizing your mortgage and paying it later. So they're saying the mortgage latest update revealed that the total number of loans now forbearances decreased the portfolio volume, according to the MBA. The share of loan forbearances declined, but we are now seeing a notable pattern developing over the last 2 weeks. Forbearances share and decrease in the GSE loans, but has slightly increased in the Ginnie Mae loans, right? The job market has cooled somewhat over the past few weeks, with layoffs increasing and other indicators that the economy rebound may be losing some steam because of the rising COVID cases around the country. It's therefore not surprising the situation first impacts. So forbearances are very important. Why do I pay Pay attention to that. How many home loans are in forbearances? How many home loans aren't? Because if you got a job and you can pay your mortgage, you're not going to ask for, well, in most cases, you're probably not going to ask for a leniency, right? So the real estate industry and people buying homes is a good indicator of what's going on in the economy, right? How many people applied to buy homes? That's very important. How many people applied to buy homes? How many people homes are going into a foreclosure? How many people homes are in forbearances? That's very important. I can kind of get a good indicator. This is what tells me this goes off into the gold, right? This goes to tell me what's going on with gold. Because when I see the real estate market is shaky, that means that gold is going to continue to go higher. Precious metals. So what I need to do to make some quick money between now and 3 months. Now, do you want to grow money or are you trying to make money, Marsh? If you're trying to make money, depending on how much money you got to invest, you can take a little bit more risk if you're just trying to stay in stocks. But if you're just trying to generate an income, depending on what type of money you have, you may want to go out. Somebody who may look at purchasing the franchise. You may be a person that's trying to, if you need an income, maybe you may want to get into real estate. Maybe you might want to buy a rental property, right? Our show next week, we have a guy coming on who's talking about getting into real estate with no credit or no cash, buying, you know, whatever the case may be, right? Very interesting topic. When you go into stocks, yes, you may want to go into a dividend-based stock. How much income do you need? You need big income or a little bit of income? So if you need big income, you may want to go to dividend-heavy paying stocks if you need money, right? If you're just trying to do a quick flip, you maybe want a day trader that's very extremely high risk. You can go into option trading. You can go into Forex trading. You know, those are the options you have, right? For prime example, you could, if you want to be very risky, you could just buy a call option on Uber that expires on Friday or next week. And you might be able to make 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%. But then again, you could lose everything if Uber earnings don't push the stock higher, right? Matthew Simmons says, what is your thoughts on net? Hey, how's it going, Matthews? Where are you from, Matthews? Nice profile picture, too. I like that suit and tie combo. Let's go here. Let's see what Matt is talking about. I'm going to look this up on my phone. Let's look up the net. Cloudflare. Okay. Now, I'm looking at net. Net seems to be, let me look it up over here on my computer. My nose is itching too, y'all. I don't hate to seem like I'm stretching my nose in front of everybody that's catching it live. This is a look like a cloud building company here. Guess what? They have their earnings tomorrow. You're really going to be able to see about net. So the first thing I see, net is unprofitable, right? It's a cloud share company. You know, cloud is always big. So right here, what screen am I sharing right now? Let me turn that one off. So we're going to take a look at, we're taking a look at net here. So this is Cloudflare Incorporated, is a web infrastructure and web security company. The company has built a platform that delivers a range of network services, business insights, blah, blah, blah. It delivers cyber, you know, it delivers security, performance, reliability across the premises. Now, when I look at a company like this, right, I may want to go to, before I go to their website, who are some of their customers? Who they provide customers to? First thing I see, this company is unprofitable, right? Why are you unprofitable? Let's go to software and IT. Let's try to look up some of the other companies in this sector and industry. Let's take a look at their market cap. So in this same space, you have Alphabet, which is Google. You have Facebook. You have Alibaba, Microsoft. I don't know why MasterCard is in here, but okay. I don't see Shopify, but I can see Google and them. Those are, because these all fall up on the software and IT services, right? So when I look at this company, let's go back to the overview of Net. Let's see how this, the company is not profitable. Let's see how's it performed on the charts. How has it done so far this year? It's done okay. Has it outperformed the S&P 500 better? Okay, it did. Let's see, has it outperformed the NASDAQ? Okay, so it's had a fairly good year. It started out, it's gone from $16 to $42 a year. Very great year. NetCloud, let's take a look at another look at NetCloud. Snapshot here, little quick synopsis. Let's head on over to the cloudfare.com website. It's an unprofitable company, right? Let's see here. Do they have their some of their products? They do webs. This is how you have to look at it as an investor, right? Advanced security. They provide security. Performances. They do performance tests, insights. Okay, domains. Okay. All right. Performance security, partners, network, partnerships. Okay. So they're doing some stuff here with some noticeable names. Microsoft acquired Google. So let's look at some of their partnerships. No, I'm not trying to apply to be one. I want to see who are some of their customers. Let's see some of the resources. Okay, here we go. They got them right down here. So like they do something for Shopify. Shopify, that's a big name there. L'Oreal. So who are some of their companies? How long have they been around? Okay. All right. Okay. Not too bad. Stop sharing the screen here. Let me go back. Now let's take a look at an unprofitable company. When I look at them, I have to look more into them to see, okay, let's take a look at their fundamentals, all right? Let's see if they're making any money. Look at their balance sheets. Let's take a look at the balance sheets, right? Let's pull it back up. So much debt they have on hand. Okay, no long-term debt. That's good. So they have no long-term debt, which is very common in this space, ladies and gentlemen. They have no long-term debt. Let's look at their cash. Their cash is growing. All right. Short-term cash is growing. The current assets are growing. Okay. So, not a bad company. You know, no debt. Nice cash on hand. Let's look at the income. The revenue is growing year over year. Look at the revenue. The revenue is coming in pretty nicely. You know, let's see here. But here, down here at the bottom, they're netting losses. So why are they netting these losses with growing income? The total expenses. The total operating expenses, this is one thing that's killing the company right now. They're making more money, but they're spending more money on their total operational expenses. So when I look at this on the income statement, I got to wonder, why are they spending so much money? It's like the more money they make, the more money. So their losses are increasing every year. Operational income, they're losing more and more and more. They're making more money, but they're losing more money. They got to know a way of what they're going to do that's going to cut down on their total operational expenses. They spend a lot of money on research and development every year. So now I got to look at your competition. Let's look at somebody like Fortinet, which is a profitable symbol for Fortinet. I'm just writing the whole thing out. There we go, FTNT. So you take a Fortinet, for example. This is somebody who's kind of doing the same thing that you're doing. And you look at the income statement on this company. You're like, okay, so they have an operational income. Their income is growing. They're putting that money in research and development. Why? Why are you lacking behind? That's one of the things we're going to look at. So I got to compare you to your competition, right? Does that make sense? Jamise, what's going on? He said, what did I miss? Been a pretty good episode. We're going to do a recap in a little bit. He said, they report their earnings. You're right, King Carter. They report their earnings. Fortinet's reporting their earnings tomorrow. So is this company here, Cloud. Cloudflare is going to be reporting their earnings too. It's an unprofitable company, no debt. Its cash is growing, but also its research and development is growing. Its total expenses is growing. I would be listening if I was following that company. What is that company going to do to lower their total expenses? What are you going to do? Are they trying to work on that? More knowledge, cybersecurity. Yep, cybersecurity is a huge one. Okay, Matthew. Matthew is from the Bay Area, San Francisco. The Bay is in here tough. You know, I see a lot of people from the Bay come in here, right? Julio, what's going on? Julio said, I've been investing for over 2 years now, mostly in stock, like Amazon, Google. What is your advice so I can have a passive income on a quarterly basis? If you want a passive income on a quarterly basis, you're going to automatically look at dividend paying stocks, right? You're automatically going to look at dividend paying stocks automatically. So what I mean by you looking at, if you're someone, dividend paying stocks, they pay you every quarter. So let's take a look at that right here. I'm going to show you guys and girls how you can do that. I'm just going to use it in E-Trade because that's what I have pulled up right now. So let's take a look at it. A lot of people just tell you stuff, but not that many people show you stuff. Why did this pull up? I don't want this one. Give me 1 second here. Let me shut this one down. Let me go back. Where are you at? All right. So we're going to go here to stocks. We're going to go to Stock Screener. Up on the Stock Screener, let's say you want to look at large cap companies because you already invest in the large cap companies like Amazon, Google. Large cap is large capitalization, big boys. You want to look at large cap companies. You don't care about the industry or whatnot, but you're going to stroll down here. You're going to look at dividends. You want a company that is, payout ratio, dividend yield. So let's say you want a high, 6 to 8. You got a 6 to 8 in here? Let's see which one you got, 4 to 6. All right, so you want a dividend in a large cap company that pays 4 to 6% annual dividend. You can even put in here a dollar amount if you want to. So you can hit the view result button. And right here, they got IBM. IBM, let's look at IBM. Oh, not that industry. I meant stock. There we go. So this company right here pays 5% in dividends every quarter. The next dividend is going to be paid in September. Next September, for every share they're going to hold, you're going to get $1.63, right? So that's what you can do. Now, once you have that, you can put this inside a dividend calculator and tell you how much money you're going to make every share you hold. Come, if you're on file, if you buy a stock by the end of this week and you hold it, because the expiration date is on August 7th, if you buy IBM by the end of this week, if you buy one share, come September 10th, you're going to get $1.63 that you could have reinvested or you could use as income. That's one way. All right. Alan Wayne, what's going on, Al? That's my guy, Al, right there. He out in San Diego. How's San Diego going? Matthew said, yes, and thank you. Yeah, hopefully I help you out with Cloudflare. And tomorrow, Cloudflare and Fortnite earnings will come out. And that's when you get to see who is really who. And calling from the Bay, all the way from the Bay. I should get my speaker hooked back up so you guys and girls could call in if you want to. Sounds like a good company considering that everything is going online. Yes, cybersecurity is big. So when I look at the cybersecurity world and I compare everybody, I start with the big boy first. I look at the biggest companies out there. The biggest ones I saw was like Fortinet. I can't remember other cybersecurity companies that were out there, but I start with the big ones, then I work my way down. Everybody always asks me this question. Tech9 says, dude, I get an Apple before the stock split or take now. What is you're saying? Do I get in the stock split? Do I get in the Apple before or after the stock split? My question to you is, what is your goal? Are you trying to make some money here? Do you just want to get the best price? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? What is your goal when you get this Apple stock? You're trying to get the best price. You're looking to hold it for 5 years, 10 years. You're looking to turn it in tomorrow morning. What is your goal? What are you trying to do? All right. Ask me that. Answer that question for me. Then I can kind of give you an idea of the stock split. Because if you're a long-term investor, before now in the stock split, the stock will dip. It kind of settled off today, but then it shot back up. So it's been on a hot run for the last 2-3 days. So by the end of this week or sometime next week, when the stock started to decline, I would jump in. How much money do you have, right? Oh, there he is. Tony Series in the building. Tony Siri, investment education for the youth. Cleveland is in here, man. We got in here all over the country today. Cleveland to Memphis to who else I saw in here today? Cleveland, Memphis. I ain't trying to miss nobody. The Bay Area, all over the place. Thanks, Prince. Julio, anytime, man. Anytime, anytime. Glad I can help you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to get ready to wrap up today's episode. So we're going to do a recap. I know Jamise White asked me that. We're going to do a quick recap. We're going to talk about everything we went over today. The first thing we talked about was the Dow Jones going up 300 points. That was carried a lot by Disney releasing its quarterly earnings. We went over Disney earnings, and Disney earnings showed us a very crucial state. Disney is making a lot of money, not making a lot of money, but it hit 100 million subscriptions on Disney Plus. So even though the parks have dropped to 85%, they made a lot of money just due to having their due to their online presence, right? Then we went through Disney earnings reports. We actually pulled up Disney earnings reports and we read everything through. We didn't go through what CNB said and Larry said and Sue said and what John said, what media outlets said. We read exactly what came out of Disney's mouth, right? And the reason why I love SEC reports, because if you lie on them, you're supposed to go to jail. Well, you can go to jail, supposed to go to jail, right? So before we go any further, we got some comments here, right? Alan said, it's good, brother. Can't complain. Nice, nice. Tina says, hi, KC. I think she's saying she's from KC. Kansas City's in the building. Nice. You're looking to hold it for the next 5 to 10 years. I wouldn't be concerned on the next stocks. It depends on how much money you got. Let's say if I only had $100, then yes, I would wait to the split. If I only had $400, if I could purchase the shares now, I would just wait till the shares decrease, wait till they come off their high, and then I would come down. Then I would come down. I would purchase it and forget about it. Thanks for the help, my man. God bless. And I did subscribe. Good night. Marsh Boy, appreciate it. Thank you for subscribing. I appreciate that. More knowledge is from the H-Town. Okay, all right, H-Town. I think I seen two people in here from H-Town today. Houston, Texas, in the building. And let's finish up this recap. We walked over Disney earnings. Then we talked about the airlines getting the second bailout. We talked about the airlines getting the second bailout, pushing up the airline stocks. We also went over the gold. Gold and silver hitting an all-time high, something that I think is going to continuously to grow. Why do I think it's going to continuously to grow? Because I can look at the real estate market and see the real estate market is not on solid ground. Things are still skeptical. The job market is still skeptical. And as skepticism lives inside of the market, gold and silver will continue to rise. That's my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we talked about today. I want to thank all the lovely guys and girls and that checked in all across the globe. And for the people that catch the playback, if you don't catch the playback, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you go to iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, whatever device out there that grabs podcasts, and you're probably going to catch the Investor Show. All of this is pulled on the Investor Show as well. So I thank you guys and girls for tuning in. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude my time. I always love being here with you guys. My name is Prince Dykes. This is the Investor Show. And to the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace. Be safe. I'm out. Thank you.